Guess what week it is?
Murder week!
It's murder week! It's my week, bitches.
Wait, what's the soundtrack, the like theme song for...
One Body Bag or Two?
No, where it's like the guy that's like chopping the door down in The Shining.
Oh. Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
Here's Sam.
Here's Sam.
Right?
One body bag or two?
Thank you guys. We have made it to episode 4. We planned
episode 4. Yes. Yay!
We are on episode 4 and it again is murder week.
Oh, woo-hoo. So technically it's our one month anniversary.
Yes, this is our 1 month anniversary. Cheers to us guys. Cheers. Let's clink our teas together.
Oh, this tea's really good.
Oh, what kind
it
of
tea? It's good.
It's a peach tea.
Peach tea? It looks super fancy.
It is. It's
so clank 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 clank. We have teas and Yelly's looks super fancy.
Try it, Sam.
Let me try this super fancy tea
of
yours.
It's so cute. I got it because of the packaging.
She's
going to
say it's not sweet enough. One.
Why is it pink?
Because it's peach,
it's
woman.
Peach. Peaches are pink, mostly.
No.
Mostly.
Peaches
have
are
a
not
nice,
pink.
Peaches have a nice, like, rosy butt cheek blush to them.
Speaking of butt cheeks.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, see?
I don't need any sugar to that.
Really?
Yeah.
It has honey in it already.
I think it's because I'm eating these peanut butter cookies.
No, I like that. That is actually
really
yummy.
Where'd you get it from?
Can you please explain to us what this drink is, Yelly?
This is a brand called Crafty. You'll see the picture on Instagram with everything. And it is basically a peach tea with grape juice and honey and vitamin C. But it's a black tea, so.
We're going to be up all night.
Yeah. Anyway. But it's worth.
It's actually, believe it or not, and this is coming from me, someone who likes simple tea. I mean, come on, I'm drinking an Arizona tea again. But this time, it's the green tea with ginseng and honey.
It's good.
Kind of miss my sweet tea, though. But I actually like yours. But Joe, want to tell us what you're drinking?
I am drinking tea blends, unique and uncommon. Hot cinnamon sunset. Hot cinnamon sunset.
Hot cinnamon.
It's black tea with
so
cinnamon,
hot.
Orange, and sweet cloves. About this tea, I'm borrowing it from Yelly. She said it's her favorite, and I can't wait to taste it. And it's funny because she's like, "That's my favorite. Maybe you should try the holiday one."
The holiday one's good too because it's like this one, but it's got the spirit of Christmas in it,
which was several months ago.
But still good.
A month ago.
More than a month ago.
It was in December. It's February today. Over a month ago. Month and a
negative
half.
Negative 1 point from Team Paranormal.
Apparently
you're starting
our point
this.
System has thrown off Teresa. She's like trying to keep
She's
track.
She's really trying to keep track. Oh, God. Good luck to you, Teresa. Again, actually, I did want to do a
shout out to Teresa.
Teresa! You are like awesome. You're one of our number one fans.
She's going to be the one that's like keeping points check system.
With a graph sheet and everything. I can totally see that. But yeah, we're just going to do some shout outs mostly to Teresa. Whoop, whoop, go Teresa. I also want to do a shout out to our main man. His name is Hex. He goes by Hex. I love you guys.
Sexy Hexy.
Sexy Hexy. You know who you are.
And our new number one fan.
Our new number one fan. Oh, I look forward to seeing you again.
I like seaweed. You know who you are.
You know who you are. All right. That consists of our shout outs for our week of the murder. Do you guys have anything you want to share? Or anything you'd like to say to our fans?
I'm excited to hear the new murder.
Oh. Okay. She wants to jump right to it.
Jump into the pool.
Yoli's excited to hear about the murder.
She wants
Wait,
to
are we still doing the point system where, like, if I cringe or, like,
yes,
you get a point? No, that's not fair. It's so easy for. I'm going to have to try really hard, Joe.
Yes, this is.
I'm going to have to call your white man and tell him. Hey.
I know, right? Robert might have to come over here and, like, comfort you or something.
Yeah.
Well,
Joe had to take it there.
I don't think this one is as bad.
I mean, let's see.
It's kind of sad, but...
Just go into it.
So,
just rip that Band-Aid right off.
Pretty much.
Just rip it off. Okay. So what I'm covering today is the story of Brandon Tina. Have you ever heard of the movie Boys Don't Cry? Or did you see that?
Boys Don't Cry?
Boys Don't
Cry. It sounds familiar, but...
Not the song from The Cure, Boys Don't Cry. This is the actual movie.
Boys Don't Cry. It has a transgender female in there.
No.
A female trying to be male, and she gets, like, killed very bad.
Well, now you spoiled the movie.
The movie's super sad, but the movie is a little over-exaggerated. It did get criticism for that, but it did cover a lot of heavy points. Uh-huh. And I do recommend people to see it because it opens people's eyes on the abuse that a lot of transgender people go through.
They had, like, a tiny segment in the Netflix show that just came on not too long ago for, what is it called?
Oh, Sex Education?
Yeah. There was an episode with,
Eric. Yeah. If you guys haven't seen Sex Education on Netflix, I do recommend watching it. It's super funny. And
educational,
actually.
Don't watch it with the kids.
Yeah.
Of course not. No, don't do that. So, yeah, so this story is actually, if you've ever seen the movie Boys Don't Cry, this is what that movie was based off of.
And I feel like we should have a clicker clacker for, like, spoiler alert.
Right.
Before, because some people might want to see it.
Well, they can still see it, regardless of what they hear mm-hmm. from here. They can still see it and see how the directors took their point of view into it. Yes, so it was really nice how the director tried to put her point of view into it mm-hmm. and how she mixed things up a bit. It is actually a close representation of it, but not exact. It is a little exaggerated because, hey, it's cinema, and cinema does that. Mm. So,
you gotta capture the audience.
Right, so Brandon Tina was an American trans man who was raped and murdered in Nebraska in 1993. This opened the eyes of legal and medical discrimination because of her death. The way the whole case was treated was just pure trash. I will get more into that, though. So, let's start from the beginning.
You're spoiling it before I even hear it.
Okay. So, Brandon Tina was born Tina Renee Brandon on December 12th, 1972. Brandon was born to a 16-year-old Joanne Brandon. She was born female, but later on in life, she always wanted to be male. So, throughout this, I'm going to be referring to him as he, in respect. You know, he wanted to be called a male. He was... You know,
he identified as male.
So out of respect, I'm going to refer to him as a him.
Okay.
So but if you do get confused, let me know and I will help you.
No, I'm following.
Yeah. So
it's good, right? Sorry, Joe just told me the tea was good. It doesn't need any sugar added or anything. It's just like if you like enjoy cinnamon tea, the little box tea that's on the left of the picture of the tea that we took, that's the one that Joe's drinking.
Yeah, it teases.
Sorry to interlude or like, how do you call it?
No, it's totally fine.
Commercial intrude. Break.
Intrude, right? This is where we have a commercial on tea and it's like, do you like tea? Try this tea. And then Joe's in the background.
Feeling cozy in the background.
Right?
Very.
Okay, so again, she was born female. Mm-hmm. She had an older sister by the name of Tammy. And when Tammy was born, her mom was 13. So her mom had her first kid, Tammy, at 13. And then she had Brandon or Tina at 16. She was just a baby.
Wait, so her mom had
her him had him at, when she was 16.
Oh wow.
Had her first child when she was 13.
Oh.
Yes. By omission, Brandon was born of incest by a male predator who was a family member. Some say it was Joanne's own father.
Wow.
Some say it was her uncle. It was still unclear. Yeah.
Jerry.
Oh, like Jerry Springer. Jerry.
You are not the father. Who's the daddy?
Apparently it was the father.
That's Maury or whatever.
Oh, that's Maury. Yeah, that's right.
Jerry did it too.
Yeah, he did
it too. Jerry. Yeah. His was more though like...
Can you tell we're dating ourselves?
Dude, I used to watch that. I used to get up early just to watch that shit. My mom
you
let me.
You are not the father.
My mom let me watch that stuff too.
It's so much drama.
It is, but... You look back on it now and it's like, dude, this shit's so fucking fake. But I was so into it when I was younger.
It was
like wrestling,
but with young people.
But at least back in the day, wrestling looked more real than it does now. Now it's just so fucking boring. Like, I can't with wrestling now. I just can't. See, we're dating ourselves right now. What's that face?
I'm trying to not, like, do super reactions to, like, not give you points. So I'm just like, I have to hold it in.
Your face is going to, like...
Because, like, it just...
But, yeah, so They are unsure who the father is to both Tammy and, well, mostly to Brandon. Like, they just don't know.
Okay.
And I don't think they ever really figured it out. Or if they did, I probably missed it. So if there is an answer to
that. If anyone else out there knows, leave us a comment.
Okay, so before Brandon was born, Joanne was dating and living with a 19-year-old boy. She was only 16. Keep that in mind. But before Brandon was born, he died of a car accident. Again, it was unclear if drug or alcohol played a role in this, in his death, but it left Joanne with raising two girls when she was just a child herself.
Wow.
Yes. So here's a small fact. Brandon, or Tina, she was actually named after the family dog. Yeah. They openly admitted that, oh yeah, we had a dog named Tina and we thought it was a nice name, so we gave that to her.
Tina's a nice name, even if it's for a dog or
this
a person.
This one is actually spelled T-E-E-N-A.
T. No.
Yeah. Like T?
T. I see what you did there. You're punny.
Do I get a point for that?
No.
I'll give you a point because I thought it made me laugh.
Yeah. One point for T murder. Yay. Okay. From an early age, Brandon and his sister, Tammy, were sexually abused by their uncle. It was made known when Brandon was 12 years old and she was talking to her best friend, Sarah Gapp. So this is an exact quote from her and what she...
From Sarah Gapp?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is a quote that she remembers Brandon telling her one day and she was 12 years old. So she...
She remembers it from her being 12?
Yeah. She got interviewed a lot after the death. So. Okay. So she, Brandon, told me that one of her relatives was doing something... Was doing something to her that she didn't like. She just kind of said that, you know, he would kind of whip things out and kind of play with it a little bit. And she said occasionally he'd have her touch him and then he would play with her and tell her, oh, you like it. You know, this feels good. You know, you don't want me to stop. So she told her friend that.
Do you think we should put a warning before?
This thing is warning already.
It made me cringe. So I'm just like, if I cringe, I don't want to, like, you know, like.
We're talking just about murder here.
I know, but...
This is already rated. You know you ask me this every episode.
I feel... Okay. Disney movies and cartoons for me after this.
Another point for murder. Alrighty. Okay, so she continues, stating that Brandon started breaking down. At that point in time, she didn't want anyone to know what had happened. She didn't want the guy to be mad at her. She was more upset about him finding out... And people finding out and being embarrassed. No matter what he did to her, she still loved him. So, a little...
Oh.
Yeah. She was more scared of him finding out that she's telling people than what was actually happening. She actually... I think she was more in the mindset of she thought this was normal and she thought she deserved it. Which is kind of the mindset to a lot of victims when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, it's unfortunate, but she was able to say this to her best friend. But it gets worse. It gets worse. So other sources, including Brandon's therapist, confirmed, adding that according to Brandon, the abuse would last for hours, several times a day, and the molestation continued for a period of years from childhood to adulthood.
And this was like when she was 12?
It had started before. So it started from childhood all the way to adolescence when she left her household. And she left her household at 16. So, unfortunately, though, Brandon's mother and grandmother knew about the abuse. But to keep the man happy and from confrontation, they told her to keep quiet about it and just to let it go. So they didn't do anything to help her. So much for, you know, great parenting there. Parenting skills.
You should see my face right now. I'm just like...
Yes. Okay. It's okay. It's okay, Yelly. Would you like to drink out of your tea? Maybe it might soothe you a little bit.
Or wake you up and get you more amped for more of the murder.
More details?
I want to know details.
Details. Okay, so at an early age, starting around middle school, Brandon started dressing in men's clothing. When asked why, Brandon stated that dresses were cold. They lived in Nebraska. And that the boys could look up her dress when she climbed the stairs. So that was her most
favorite. She liked dresses.
She hated dresses? She hated anything that was girly. Like,
really?
Yeah, she hated it.
Huh.
Yeah. When the school that she would go to was mandatory uniforms, and the girls were expected to wear, you know, girl uniforms, the skirts, the dresses, and stuff like that. And the boys could wear shirts, khakis, and a tie. She decided to wear the boys' uniforms instead. Uh-huh. So that was her thing. She did get in trouble for it. I mean, girls were given the option to, but like 90%, 99.9% of the time, they were wearing the respected gender clothing. Mm. She continued to wear the boys' uniform, pants and tie, always, but always very baggy. Like she, if you even, the idea of wearing anything that was form-fitted to her, no. She hated it. She would never do it.
Oh, it just felt uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally did. And she cut her hair even shorter than most boys. She would actually, like, buzz cut it at the time. So I'm going to get a little technical here, but please note, I'm not a licensed psychologist. I've done a lot of research, and a lot of these quotes that you're going to hear right now are from actual psychologists. So it's not me diagnosing her. These were actually notes from actual psychologists and what they've done on her. Yeah, so please know, again, not a psychologist here, but I've done a lot of research. So therapists say the choice to wear baggy clothes is consistent with the choice of many sexual abuse survivors, as it does not overly sexualize them and not draw unwanted attention. And that was one of her number one fears, unwanted attention, especially from the opposite sex. A child of abuse can display some form of anxiety, in Brandon's case, sexual identity anxiety, by impersonating the aggressor, her abusing uncle. A child of abuse can display some form of anxiety, in Brandon's case, sexual identity anxiety, by impersonating the aggressor, which is her abusing uncle. She would impersonate him and assuming some of his attributes, including an
intimidating.
Imitating. There you go. Including imitating his aggression, the child transform him or herself from the person threatened into the person who makes the threats.
Oh, so like reflecting the person. Yes.
So this is actually how
reflecting the abusers.
Yes. So this is quite common in people who've gone through abuse that they start to see that the person who's abusing them has power. And they want that power. So they feel, well, if I'm exactly like that person, therefore I will have power.
Oh.
And because
I never thought of that.
Yeah. And there's more. So there's a little bit more, and I can elaborate just a little bit more on this too. This also adds on to Brandon started turning away from her mother. Brandon perceived his mother as untrustworthy, a betrayer of her own kind. And the victimized daughter looked toward the male predator, who, because he is her abuser, is perceived as powerful, and who, because he is a male, still holds the potential for object idolization. Females in Brandon's eyes have become identified as the subject, subjective gender for victims and betrayers. They were viewed as weak, and Brandon did not want to be seen as weak.
Oh,
so because
comes
her
full circle for yes, me now.
Yeah, her mom. She told her mom about it. Her mom knew about it, and her grandmother knew about it, but they didn't do anything. They were just like, that's what women do. That's what women have to go through.
No.
Just deal with it.
No.
Yeah.
Don't listen to those people, guys.
Exactly. So in Brandon's mind, she grew up with, well, men have all the power. Men seem to be getting away with all this shit. Women have to put up with it. I don't want to do that. So she grew up with that mindset that, hey, so this is where a lot of people also did a controversy topic
on controversial.
Her. Yeah, controversy. Controversial topic.
English, so good.
On Brandon, because there was a professional who looked into her and thought she wasn't a transgender, but someone who was suffering through sexual identity crisis. And there's a difference. But a lot of trans...
Explain the difference to
me. So a lot of trans people took offense to this because she's like, no, obviously she felt she was a man or a man stuck in a woman's body. But this psychiatrist took a closer look into it and was like, no, I think she was just suffering through sexual identity crisis because she did not... Like, she obviously was a victim of sexual abuse and incest and all these things. And all women around her failed her. So she wanted to idolize what she thought was right or what she thought
had
was
power.
Strong. So she thought, if I was a guy, I don't have to worry about being victimized or being over-sexualized. So she kind of felt she didn't have a choice but to pretend to be like a man.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it. Do you get it, Joe?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was kind of
like, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, the people kind of felt like she was forced into that when she didn't really give the chance to be a woman if she really wanted to be. So they're like, is she really trans or is she just someone who is like going through a sexual identity crisis. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people and myself agree that she was a trans person, but the whole idea that she had a sexual identity crisis, again, it's up for debate. Whatever you believe, that's what you believe, but either way, what happened to her wasn't right.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that was that. All right, so this is an actual quote from one of the psychiatrists.
Another one?
All I got was their last name, and they actually wrote a book on this, so I put the page number.
Are we putting names?
I'm just going to say their last name.
Okay.
I didn't get that much information. I probably should have.
No, that's fine. I just didn't know. Yeah, like...
Yeah. So, let's see. In her desperate attempt to preserve her faith in her parents, the child victim develops highly idolized image of at least one parent. More commonly, the child idolizes the abusive parent and displaces all of her vengeance into the non-offending parent. This was written by a psychiatrist last name Herman, and they basically were looking into it as she didn't have a choice but to be. This kind of goes hand in hand with serial killers. Like, are serial killers nature or nurture? Were they born with this way, or were they brought up this way and they were just, it was going to happen? Yeah. So they were kind of thinking, was she born into this?
Or was she made,
into this? So a lot of people argued she was made into this because she didn't have a choice.
What do you think, Joe? Made?
Bananas.
It's kind of
that was like the longest hard to determine. I was just like,
It's honestly kind of hard to determine with the information that we've pretty much been given. In a way, it kind of seems it was more nurture than it was nature.
Yeah.
Simply because of the situation and the way she was brought up, and with the lack of guidance between her parental figures. And this took place during what time, too? Like, in the 80s, wasn't it?
1980s.
Early
1980s. Well, 1980s, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, during that time, it was still...
Taboo. Very taboo.
So, like, in a way, I feel that it's still kind of...
I got the name of the book, sorry. I have it written on the second page. When I turned the page, it was written right there, and I'm just like, oh, Sam, your notes are wonderful today. the book, if anyone's interested, is called Father Daughter Incest. And it's written by the last name Herman, and they go into big detail about how incest and sexual abuse as a child goes into detail how it makes a person grow up and their how they have may have identity crisis growing up. Mm-hmm. So here's another quote from it. Most victims of incest seem to regard all women, including themselves, with contempt.
Contempt.
Yeah. Found on page 103. Ooh, fancy.
What's so fancy about 103?
It's the page number. That's where they found it. Yes. Gosh, Joe, I'm trying to be fancy here and boot actual quotes. Another negative point to Team Paranormal.
Oh my God. I didn't even do anything.
It is said that Brandon started rejecting her mother and her own female identity, and the victimized daughter began to imitate the aggressor. So this is where people felt like this psychology or this part played a role, because she started to do things that the most aggressors would be seen doing. What are you doing? Are you going to ask if you're going to get any points for tonight?
I already know I'm not going to get any points for tonight. You guys are already against me on getting
points. What do you mean, you guys?
You ladies are...
Thank you. At least he corrected that.
I call you guys all the time, and today's the one day because of the topic.
And it's funny. I said bro. I say bros all the time, too. So
are you going to get any points, Joe?
What do you say? I guess so.
Okay, I'll give you a point for that, Joe. All right. Let's see. Okay, Brandon Tina began living as a man while in high school, more so starting in middle school, but it started showing up more in high school, and she started dating very younger women. Can we even call them women? They were more like girls. Uh-huh. I'll get into the ages soon. During puberty, Brandon started dressing as a man. He would bound his chest with ace bandages and was reported to wear at least 2 baggy shirts and would stuff his pants with a roll of a rolled up sock to give the illusion of having male genitalia. Yes. And later years, even in the movie, it shows instead of stuffing with a sock, he would stuff like a dildo.
Huh.
Yeah. I do remember seeing that in the movie, and sometimes he would wrap the dildo in the sock to try and hide it a little bit more, but he wanted to do that because he was also hiding himself.
I feel like that'd be very uncomfortable to wear all day, though.
I think it would, too. I don't what
No, I don't want to go there. No. Joe's face just straight up went like, I like turtles.
He's like, I'm surrounded by girls. I have a penis.
Robert.
Nah.
We need another male in here. Alrighty, so let's see. Okay, so Brandon would continue to cut his hair short and started dating women. He truly embraced a male identity and started using other names, so he hated when people would refer to him as Tina. He came up with names such as Billy, Billy Bryanston.
Why Billy, though?
Because it's close to, I guess, I don't know, maybe she wasn't creative. Or he, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry again.
But maybe he wasn't very creative because all he had was, for the longest time, he kept calling himself Billy. And he would call himself, like, Billy Brandon, Billy Branson. Then it stuck to Brandon Tina, where he just, like, flipped his name. And he was like, hey, it works.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. I was wondering about that. So. Yeah.
Well, his Tina, Renee, Brandon. During Brandon's senior year, an Army recruiter visited the high school, encouraging students to enlist. Brandon thought he found his calling. And many expressed how excited Brandon was, but in the end was rejected because he failed the written exam. Aww. And this was like a huge turning point for him. Like, this is where he went like complete downward spiral. Aww. So when he thought he could get away from the life that he was living, when he thought things were going to get better, he was rejected. They say that he was rejected because he failed the like written exam. There was also rumor that he failed the exam because he identified himself as male instead of actual female. Uh-huh. And they found out and they were like, no, you're lying. So, and at that time, again, in the Army, they supposedly had that rule of don't ask, don't tell, uh-huh. where they didn't care if you were gay or not, as long as you didn't mention it. Uh-huh. But there was, of course, major discrimination going on at that time. So who knows?
We won't know unless we get a time machine and travel back in time.
Or unless, you know, we get the actual documents of why he was rejected. But I'm pretty sure those are destroyed by now.
Or we build this time machine and we go back in time to certain events, Sam.
Aliens.
Oh,
my God. If we build aliens, a time machine.
Give me time machine.
Right? If we get a time machine and it works, I'm selling it to the Ida's bidder and becoming a multi-billionaire.
What are you talking about? We could just go back from when they did the raffle for the billionaire lotto and then win that shit.
Over and over again.
Exactly.
Right? Yelly can win one. Joe can win one. I can win one. Maybe some other people can win one, but come on.
But does that alter our realities if we all have to jump back each time?
I think it would.
It will, because it's more than
one. Technically, that's how the time continuum works. You know.
Okay, now we're getting too sciencey. Okay. Back on track.
So, Brandon was expelled from school 3 days before he could graduate. He had failing grades, was skipping class nonstop, and even though she hated attention.
4 days?
3 days.
3 days?
3 days.
And, would have been like, F you, school!
Shit, that almost happened to me. Well, sort of.
Come on, man. 3 freaking days, I'd just be like, just let me, like, roll across the stage.
So, like, can I just walk and pretend like I graduated? No, they expelled him from school before he even had the chance. So at 16, Brandon had moved out and started living with his then-girlfriend. Not long after the breakup, Brandon tried to commit suicide. So they lasted for a while, but he took it so hard that he tried to commit suicide using antibiotic pills. He ended up spending time in Lincoln Crisis Program, and there he was diagnosed with many different disorders. Believe me, the disorder list was long, so I'm going to give like a shortened version of it.
Uh-huh.
Just the most common ones was personality disorder, sexual identity crisis, PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and also at the time, transgender or transsexual was listed as a disease and or as a disorder and not an actual thing. So at the time term was considered an issue, and this was not considered incorrect or out of date. That was, oh, if you're transsexual, transgender, it's an issue we can fix.
Cool.
The backwards thinking back then. They were saying that Brandon's discomfort ran deeper than annoyance. She would also reported that when people would stare at her chest or stare at her, or it caused her a lot of anxiety. So when people
because you're uncomfortable in your own skin, and then having someone stare at that skin that you're feeling uncomfortable in, of course that makes anxiety spikes through the roof. So, and you're just like,
yeah, she had major anxiety. When people would stare at her, she would always have this constant fear, do they fucking know the truth? Like, she hated when people would stare at her chest because she was afraid that, you know, they were overly sexualized her, because breasts to her were like you know, a sexual object. And the same thing she also mentioned about physically being in pain. She would constantly complain about, you know, when you're younger and your breasts start growing and when you start back going pains. Through, yeah, all that stuff of being a woman, she would over exaggerate how bad it was and how much pain she was in. So this kind of like jumped into her. She never was a drug abuser, but she always complained of a lot of pain. So she'd have,
I mean, maybe she did have a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Like,
some people go through it more than others. Mm-hmm. And she hated the fact, like, she thought it was the most disgusting thing in the world when she would go through her menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. And she hated looking at her breasts. And so she'd constantly have her breasts wrapped and like smashed down as much as possible because mm-hmm. she just hated the idea of having them.
I think maybe that's where also the pain comes from, because she's constantly like wrapping them down yeah. to the point where they can't like be comfortable. So
I mean,
they
I could,
might be sore.
Sometimes when being, I wear sports bras too fucking tight, it fucking hurts.
It's like bounded. It's like, ugh.
Right? And I could just imagine.
Joe's all like, I totally know, guys. I totally understand.
Right.
That underwire. Oh my God.
Yeah. Especially when it breaks, Joe, and it stabs you to freaking that is, death.
That is the worst portrayal one woman could ever have.
Yet they still make the wires.
Like, right. It's just the worst portrayal because you're just walking around and then you feel like something stabbed you in the chest and you're just like, I thought you had my back and my boobs, literally. And
you were supposed to be my support.
You were the chosen one. You were supposed to contain these puppies, not destroy them.
Why do you call them puppies?
Oh man, believe me, any female can relate to us. Like, come on, amen, shout out, you all know females with boobies
or male. I'm just
or
saying,
males,
I'm
yeah
gonna, yeah,
anyone who's worn a bra knows,
yeah, there you
the
go
truth, we'll okay go yeah. Male, female, whatever, if you've worn a bra underwire long enough, it sucks.
No.
Okay, went on a tangent there. So at the time Brandon tried to commit suicide, it was reported that he was suffering through a serious eating disorder. So the idea of being voluptuous to him.
Voluptuous. Say that again, Sam.
Voluptuous.
Say it again. Slower.
Voluptuous.
Like that tea. Oh. The peaches. The voluptuous peaches they use.
I think Joe really wants my tea.
I know, right?
He's staring so at your tea.
It's yummy.
It is so yummy.
I like the bottle. That's what I was just like. I can be slender and beautiful like this bottle if I drink this tea.
Well, that idea scared Brandon.
Yeah.
So the idea of being
slender or no voluptuous.
Being voluptuous, because he kind of got the idea. He already knew that there was no way he can gain muscle or get big without his chest getting bigger and giving out the identity that he is female.
Mm-hmm.
So he went with the I'm going to be more of the scrawny, kind of like toned guy looking body. So the idea of being. Having too much weight on him,
uh-huh.
he was afraid that the hips that his mom and his sister had would appear on him, and he just didn't want that. So he kept himself really, really tiny.
Scrawny.
Yeah, she did everything she can to make sure she didn't get any boobs or booty or anything like that.
All the voluptuous parts, yes. Not there.
Like Joe's voluptuous booty.
No.
Yeah. During Brandon's stay at the hospital and speaking with a therapist, he had told them about a rape he experienced not long ago. He also reported his greatest fear was rape and how weak it made him feel. So the doctors at the crisis center wrote up a report, and in it, this was the exact words. Brandon had 12 pending charges of forgery, a possible charge of sexual assault on a minor, an untreated rape in October 1990, eating disorder, binge drinking, and an ongoing relationship with a 14-year-old. Diagnosis, a mild case of identity crisis.
A 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Do you think...
Again, she's...
To imitate the... Okay, yeah. Got it.
Exactly. That's why they're saying that she started to imitate her aggressor.
Yeah.
She started going after...
So identity crisis.
Yes. It goes on with, at first, Brandon's treatment and diagnosis did not include complex post-traumatic stress disorder, a syndrome commonly associated with survivors of child abuse, and especially survivors of incest. It's insane, given the fact that Brandon presented with a record of years of untreated sexual abuse. Brandon had checked into the clinic with a record of years of untreated sexual abuse, a report of recent rape, an escalation of criminal activity, a history of multiple identities, sexual perversion toward underage girls, extreme risk-taking behavior, avoidance of medical care from fear of routine exams, eating disorder, suicidal ideologies, terrors of being in a female body, expressed fears of men, preference for protective clothing, compulsive bathing, and actually her bathing was so bad she'd insist on bathing 6 to 7 times a day.
Wow.
So going back to the underage girl thing, how young were these girls that she was getting attracted to?
So the youngest...
14 years old.
The youngest one reported was 12.
Oh, shit. So yeah, exactly when it happened to her.
Yeah, so the youngest one, I do believe, was 12. That one didn't last as long. That was actually more of a mistake. So someone called on
her.
How
old was she when...
16.
She was 16.
16 with a 12-year-old.
Wow.
And then, but that one was a mistake. It was like a phone call that was done to her phone. And she was actually looking for a boy, but she pretended to be a boy. And they had they actually met up at a park and started going out. And she kept it a secret to her that she was an actual female. And it didn't last very long because Brandon had a history of like jumping from like female to female. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her bathing never got better. She actually, well, it kind of did because she went from like bathing 6 to 7 times a day down to like 3-4 times a day. But she was constantly always changing her clothing too because she felt okay.
Always so fresh and so clean.
Not just being fresh and clean. But the idea that she felt she was dirty and she felt she always, the clothing she was wearing wasn't hiding herself enough. So she was always changing her clothing.
Kind of like an OCD thing.
Yeah. So yeah, she was diagnosed. Brandon was obsessed with cleanliness and would continue throughout her life. And according to friends, even her last years, he was still taking 3 or 4 showers a day, changing all the time. Obsessive compulsive when it came to cleaning.
Yeah.
So... he had all of these other things, but what they mainly focused on, these therapists at the crisis center, like nowadays therapists look at this and they're just like, wow, who gave the degree to these people? Because they obviously are not seeing the truth of what this person is suffering through. Mm-hmm. And anyone could tell that she was in crisis. Mm-hmm. But I guess at that time, again, transgender at the time, transsexual at the time was considered a disease and not an actual thing. So poor Brandon did not get the help he actually needed. In fact, they discharged him and told him, you should just get a sex change.
That's it? They were just like, here you go, be on your merry way.
The reason why you're going through what you're going through, because at 16, when he was rejected from the army, he got really sad and he would go around. This is where his criminal history started, and this is where him becoming the aggressor really starts taking the forefront. They were never able to get a whole lot of detail on the rape that happened in October of 1990. He did not like talking. I feel bad because I sometimes say she. I'm really sorry. But he would refuse to talk about it. And the only time he did talk about it, he talked to one therapist, and the therapist came to the conclusion that it was a homophobic assault because people found out that Brandon was a female. And back at that time, to treat lesbianism, the only treatment was rape. And they said if you rape a female enough, she will start liking males.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's not cool at all.
So, yeah, at an early age, she didn't talk about it enough, but the therapist put to the conclusion that she was assaulted because they found out that she was an actual female. And they're like,
he was a female.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, let's fix him. Mm-hmm. So
that was their.
Yeah. That was actually a lot of treatments back in the day.
So angry.
Yeah. It was not nice. Like, the treatments they did back in the day for that stuff is
no
horrible.
No gusta!
So, during the time, Brandon's mother... during this whole entire time, Brandon's mother did not agree and never really, even to this day, came to terms that her daughter was a lesbian. Or even identified as a male. She just thought she was going through a phase. Yes. So...
wonderful parenting, y'all.
Yeah, so when people would call the house looking for Billy or looking for Brandon, she would get mad. She would be fuming. She would assault him. She would do things to him. And she'd be like, he's not Billy. Her name is Tina, and it's a she. And she went to the, when she moved out at 16 and moved in with her then girlfriend, the mom literally made it her mission to break them apart and to tell her the truth. She actually, Brandon had to go as far as getting a restraining order against her own mom because of how much she was pestering them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the mom was in complete denial. It's actually pretty fucked up, too, because on her headstone, Brandon's headstone, she has it, loving daughter, caring sister, and beautiful woman. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's not what...
What she probably would not have... Well, it's probably what not he have he wouldn't have wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And she put the name on there as...
Rest in peace, though.
Yeah. R.I.P. She put her, Brandon's real name on there. And no mention of, like, of who he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even to this day, people pretty much know that she's not accepting of it. Even after his death 20 years later. Brandon had started relationships with much younger girls. Not long after dropping out of school, she started dating 12-year-old, a 13-year-old named Liz. She also dated a 14-year-old named Heather, to whom she allegedly proposed to. So this was after high school, so she was already 18.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon would lavish her relationships with gifts and affection. So when things became sexual, Brandon would tell his girlfriends that he was born intersexual, or aka a hermaphrodite, and that he was in the process of gender reassignment.
Oh.
Yeah. So you know what a hermaphrodite is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who don't know what a hermaphrodite is.
Sam, please tell us.
Right? So a hermaphrodite is someone who's born of both sex. Whether sometimes it can be, sometimes they're born with breast and a genital of a male, or sometimes, you know, vice versa. Flat chest, genitalia of a female.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes even both. Some of them have a vagina and a penis. Crazy how
it's not
happens.
Weird. Some people are just born that way, Sam.
No, I don't mean it in an insult.
Minus 1 point.
I will take that, actually. I'm sorry. But it's really weird because scientifically, it's because their genes didn't...
I need the Lady Gaga song right now because... Sam keeps saying it's weird, and I'm just like, how does the words go? Like,
you were born that way, baby.
You were born that way, baby. Right. We need Lady Gaga up in here.
All right. I need to edumacate you. No, the science behind it, because of embryos, because I actually went to school to study that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you should know it's scientific.
Yes, scientifically, when a hermaphrodite is born, it's because the embryo, when the time you become about, I think it's like 14 or 16 week is when the baby is determined. When you become a hermaphrodite, instead of splitting, it actually gets stuck together to get stuck together. So the X and Y chromosome get stuck together and you become both.
Do you ever think just while you're an embryo, like, the shining light of whatever you believe in is like, would you like to be male or female? Or is like, are you a boy? Like Professor Oak, are you a boy or a girl? What's your name? And someone just pushed both fucking buttons. Yeah, that's the way I'm going to imagine.
Or they have that option of, I'd rather not say.
Yeah, right? There you go. We're going to go with that theory. That's my happy Disney theory. Wait, no, that's my happy theory.
Don't say Disney.
That's my happy theory. Editing.
Or maybe it's like one of those situations where they're running about eager to push one or the other and they trip and fall and just like, both buttons.
Anime logic.
Right, anime
where they
logic,
fall and you're like,
exaggerated
fall.
Yeah. So... all of Brandon's exes, when they were interviewed by the press, had nothing but praise for him. He was a great kisser, a fantastic lover, charming, handsome, and treated them kindly. Brandon knew how to treat a woman. This was an actual quote from one of his exes. Brandon knew how to treat a woman, spoiling them. He would always spoil us with gifts, the best meals, and even would pick us up in limousines. He would constantly write us love poems, cards. Most of all, he never pressured women into sex, and he never raised his voice or ordered them around. He did not believe in violence against them at all. So he knew how to treat a woman, because psychiatrists and therapists say he did not want to put what he went through onto anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So he cherished and respected them. And he's like, this is how women should be treated, and he would treat them the right way. You go, Brandon.
R.I.P. Brandon.
Right. Let's see. Okay. Then that brings you to the question. How was he able to afford this crap?
You know what? This is true.
This whole entire time, I was saying all these things that he was doing.
Uh-huh.
Always in the back of my mind, I'm just like, how the hell did this happen? So, unfortunately, he couldn't. So this is where he
ranked up some credit card debt.
Not just that. This is where he started his mini career in crime. He would steal ATM cards. And his main thing that he was known for and got caught for all the time was forging checks. Yes. He would forge bad checks. That's
why you were saying the forgery.
Exactly.
Back to
I kind of hinted
at
that. I
like your twist in the story there. Sam. Yes. I like it.
So, yeah, he would forge checks, his number one thing he'd like to do. Mm-hmm. He would snag credit cards. He got into auto theft and, of course, forgery. I listed that twice because it was a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And petty theft. He had 18 crimes by the time of his death. And he had ran from police because he had warrants for his arrest for forgery. Oh. He was petrified of going to jail. Obviously, because they would probably send him to a female and people would know the truth. It's a list of things of mm-hmm. why. I mean, who wants to go to prison, for one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one. Brandon violated probation in 1983 and ran. He moved from the little town of Nebraska that he was in to another part, which I don't know why I didn't write it down.
Somewhere in Nebraska?
Somewhere in Nebraska. Hmm. So this is where he moved in with a friend by the name of Lisa Lampert in an attempt to avoid another arrest and prison time. They lived in a broken down farmhouse slash trailer with Lisa, her baby, and a friend. Brandon started hanging out with a new group of friends, Lana, I'm going to say her last name so bad, I'm bad with names.
Try it.
Tisdell? T-I-S-D-E-L?
Like Ashley Tisdell?
Well, it's T-I-S-D-E-L.
Tisdale. Let me see. I have to Tisdale. Look. I'm a visual learner.
It's the one that's circled.
Tisdale.
Tisdale. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I got it right. And I was so afraid that I was going to get it wrong.
Or is it Tisdale?
Oh my God. It's not that fancy. It's Nebraska.
Nebraska's fancy. What are you going to say to all our Nebraska listeners? They're fancy.
So he started hanging out with a new group of friends, Lana Tisdale, who she ended up getting with, by the way. Her older sister, Leslie. Lana's ex-boyfriend, John Lauder, and his pal, Marvin Tom Neeson. All the men assumed Brandon was biologically male. So because these uh-huh. group of friends didn't know where she came from or knew anything about him, he kept playing off. And he got fake IDs to say that he was male.
He was male.
Yeah. When Brandon was caught forging checks, he was arrested and was placed with the female inmates. Mm-hmm. News of Brandon's true identity was released and spread like wildfire. So not long living in his paradise and being with his new girlfriend, his identity was released because his past caught up to him.
Past, yeah.
And this is where it gets pretty bad. So
I mean, it hasn't gotten bad already.
Okay. I give you credit. Joe gets a point for that.
Oh my God.
Point team paranormal. By this time, Brandon was arrested on December 15th, 1993. He was already in a serious relationship with Lana. When Brandon was arrested and asked Lana to bail him out, Lana sent her ex-boyfriend to do this.
Oh.
Yes. And you remember who her ex-boyfriend is? John. The person he was hanging out with. They all assumed he was male.
Oh.
Yes. So ex-boyfriend, he found out the hard way when uh-huh. he went to the jail. And they're like, yeah, from the female side, here comes Brandon.
Uh-huh.
And everyone found out. And Lana wasn't happy at first because she had been with him this whole time. And Brandon had been telling her, I'm male. I'm a uh-huh. boy. And they had even had sex together. And
you think she would find out?
See, so I did a little research on this. So I did a little
awkward turtles. All I'm gonna say.
Right. So I did a little research on this, and it even shows it in the movie. Brandon would never get fully naked when he would have.
He was a never nude.
Yes.
Did he wear jean shorts all the time?
He would literally just unzip his pants, and that was it.
Ah.
That's all he would do. Whenever a female would try to get like handsy and touchy with him, mm-hmm. no, he stopped it right away. Mm-hmm. He's like, let me take care of you.
Because
he would not want them to find out the truth. So
I see.
And he always did like, I guess I'm going TMI here. He would do sexual position that would never involve her seeing his penis. Was I the only one who was thinking like, does she not know what it?
I mean, but then you have to think all these girls were like, 14, 16.
But they weren't virgins.
I know they weren't virgins, but like maybe they were just like,
I'm
trying to justify and like connect the bridge for you, but I can't. I only got two pieces of the freaking Legos and I can't connect the bridge.
Yeah. So, yeah. So John found out uh-huh. and everyone found out. And this is where she pulled the hermaphrodite card. Mm-hmm. Lana was okay with it because she truly cared for him. Mm-hmm. But
the guys weren't.
Tom and John felt bamboozled. Like, they felt humiliated. They felt like...
They were like, Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
Yeah, it was their main trigger. When they found out that Brandon had been lying and that Brandon was a female, and you also have to think that this is back in Nebraska in the early
19... I'm totally having another reference to, like, a certain D company that I can't remember, but I was like...
That D.
The Snow Mountains, yeah. Where they're like... A woman.
Like, oh my god.
1 point for me.
Yeah, it instantly just clicked in my head.
Yep. You know what we've
only
about.
Been quoting like Dishonor on you, Dishonor on your cow. Like we've only been quoting it.
Hey. Okay. As long as I don't say the
So
I get it.
Yeah, they felt deceived, they felt bamboozled, they felt humiliated, they just hated life, I guess.
Yeah.
So much that they thought, you know, this isn't right. And then this was the 1990s, and this was in Nebraska, and this was back in the area in the time where it's like, oh, you're a lesbian? No. Not happening. This is, you know, and then what I think, John was with said girl.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think he took it personal that she was having a better relationship and more fun.
It probably
hit his ego.
Yeah.
Really super hard.
Hit his E-peen. Yeah.
Like, it deflated him thinking, apparently, a woman can please her better than a guy than I can. So, Tom and John felt instantly humiliated, and they instantly started planning on ways to find out the truth and to, I guess, humiliate him. So, in doing this, at a party on Christmas Eve in 1993, John and Tim were determined to reveal the truth. Lana had tried to stick up to Brandon, claiming that they had sex. She knew he was a he, and that what they were doing to him wasn't right. But, of course, John and Tim, high as shit and drunk, forced Brandon into the bathroom where they beat the living shit out of him.
No.
They humiliated him by stripping him naked and forcing Brandon to reveal.
Where was Lana during all this?
They were beating her up and forcing her to watch. She
Wow.
And if you actually look in the movies too, which actually they say this was like almost to a T, she was literally covering her face with her eye.
Her hands.
Her hands, yeah, over her eyes. And she was begging them, please don't do this, please don't do this. They were all yelling, just stop. But they literally forced him naked, brought his pants down, and were just like, look, he is a fucking female. This is a female. You've been like, this is what's been happening. They wanted to, John's exact words was, I wanted to save her the humiliation of people finding out she was fucking a woman. Yeah. Those were his exact words. Yeah. And he's like, I thought if I would show her the truth, we could just end it there. But it didn't. It didn't end there. Lana was like, I don't care. Like, she truly loved Brandon. And when she's like, I don't care what he is. I'm going to stick with him. What you guys did was wrong. Mm-hmm. It didn't end there. So after Lana didn't give up, John Tim forced Brandon into their car. They drove to a hidden area where they brutally assaulted and raped him for hours. After they were done, they took Brandon home, forced him to take a shower, but instead, Brandon escaped through the bathroom window and went straight to Lana's house. Lana convinced Brandon to report it to the police. Brandon was terrified because Tim and John had warned him, in quotes, tell anyone, call the police, and we will silence you permanently. She at first didn't want to do it because, hey, that happened her whole life. Her own mom and grandmother told her, don't do anything.
Yeah.
Lana managed to have some sort of hold and convince over her and was like, no, we have to report this. So, they went to the hospital where a standard rape kit was assembled and it was used. Traces of semen were found on her, but the report and the kit were lost.
Wow.
Yes. During the time, somehow, everything got lost.
Oh. Hurrah!
Yeah, that even pisses me off, believe me.
Story
so this is the part that really pisses me off. So they went to the sheriff, and this is on Christmas Eve, so the sheriff was notably upset and did not hide his distaste for Brandon at all. I'm going to give you guys a warning right now. In the next 5 minutes, I will be putting the actual interview in here so people can listen to it. If you don't...
In the audio thing?
In the audio. This is going to be... It's a four-minute video or four-minute audio of the actual interview that she had with the sheriff.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yes, we can. Yeah. I'm giving you a warning now. If you want to skip through it, it's probably going to be about 4 minutes.
Ooh, no gusta.
You can skip through it and... Or you can listen to it, whichever you want. But this is... I'm giving you a warning right now because it's not... He doesn't hold back. And he...
Are we going to listen to it?
I don't think you want to.
I don't...
Yeah. I will say some of it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to let you listen to it because I know how much it would bother you. So I'm going to say some of it, but not the bad parts.
I'm going to try my best.
Yeah.
But...
So I put...
I might be grumpy later.
Asshole! Because he's an asshole! He actually got sued for this and he lost his job and a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So his name, Sheriff Charles B. Laux... L-A-U-X, if you want to look up his name, questioned Brandon on the rape. He was insensitive, rude, a complete asshole, and blamed Brandon. He never followed up on Tim and John on their assault, and due to not enough evidence, never arrested them.
Do you think he's the one that made the kit disappear?
Probably. Probably.
Wow.
Yep, because there was not enough evidence, even though there was a rape kit with actual fucking semen... It wasn't enough evidence. This is just a small little reading of it. I'm going to just read this out for Yelly. And again, I'm going to be posting up and I will put up another warning before the actual clip plays. Let's see. This happened on December 25th, mere hours after being sexually assaulted. Brandon faced a demeaning and dehumanizing line of questions from Richard County Sheriff Charles Laux when reporting his attackers. In recent interviews, people have called this a third rape on Brandon. How he treated it. Let's see. So, I'll read this part. After he pulled your... This is the sheriff. After he pulled your pants down, seeing you were a girl, what did he do? Did he fondle you any? Brandon, no. Charles, he didn't fondle you any, huh? Didn't that kind of amaze you? Does that kind of, get your attention somehow that he wouldn't put his hand in your pants and play with you a little bit?
What the... no, I don't want to listen to the rest. Yeah. Nope. Break time for Yelly. Nope.
That is just the beginning of it, too. I'll read one more entry for you. One more. I'll skip through the other part.
I had to take a little break.
Okay, so I'm just going to read two more entries for you. So
I get a point for each one.
Yes, I'm going to give you that. Because these were pretty hard. I wrote all the stuff down. So Charles, you were all half-ass drunk. I can't believe that he would pull your pants down and you are a female that he didn't stick his hand in you or his finger. And she, well, he didn't. I can't believe he did it. That's what he said to her.
What?
Or him. I'm going to skip this whole part up here. And he basically asked him, so when you were in the car... What did you guys do? And she's all like, well, he attacked me. And he's like, so, dude, you, like, touch him? Did you, like, see?
Trying to blame it on her, yes. Since she was the initiator. What the?
Yeah, he even went as, like, you didn't work it up for him? No. Then you think he was already worked up on his own? Or he was like, I guess so. I don't know. He's like, you don't know. Did so he went, did, when he got in the back seat and you were already sprawled out waiting for him.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Waiting for... Oh, God.
Sam. And Brandon replied with, no, I was sitting up. I was not waiting for him. And he was like, uh-huh.
What a doucher. I'm sorry. Excuse my language.
No, it's completely appropriate. Completely appropriate. So I'm just going to leave that at that. And then everyone else can hear the actual audio. So this is the time where I'm going to play the audio or...
Insert the audio.
Insert audio here. And again, this is your warning. This is not for the faint of heart. If this is something you don't want to listen to, you can skip the next 4 minutes.
Sorry. Sorry, friends.
Don't be sorry. It's appropriate. It's a very appropriate how you're reacting. Mm. It was not right how he was treated.
Yeah.
Like they said, it was reported like he went through a third rape because of how bad he handled the case.
Yeah, no justice.
He was... eventually sued. He lost his job and he got into a lot of trouble for how he handled the case, and people have blamed him for the reason why Brandon is dead, because if he had done his job and arrested these people who raped somebody, they would not have killed
him. Your discretion advised.
Held your arms. Which way was he standing? Beside you, behind you, or what? How'd he hold you?
Arms up.
Then he took and Tom or John undone your pants, right? He pulled your pants down how far? Past your knees. How far did he pull your underpants down? What did you have in your underpants? Nothing in your underpants?
Well, he's talking about earlier we had a sock, but not any pulled pants down, did he?
You didn't have a sock, did you? Run around once in a while with a sock and your pants make you look like a boy?
Yeah.
All right, so after he pulled your pants down, I seen you as a girl, what did he do? Did he ponder you any? He didn't ponder you any, huh? Doesn't that kind of amaze you? After he pulled your pants down, he'd been wanting to take you to bed, and you told him no, that you was a boy, and he couldn't do that. Doesn't that kind of get your attention somehow, that he would have put his hands in your pants and play with you a little bit? Huh?
I don't want to.
I can't believe that if he pulled your pants down and you're a female, that he didn't stick his hands in you, or your finger in you. I can't believe he didn't.
Tom, that name is John. I need to talk to you. Okay, walk in the bathroom, John turned around and held the door, and Tom hit me once, I fell in the tub, the back of him hit me again, and I fell on the floor and kicked me loose, on how many times, up in my back, and he picked me up in my coat, carried me out to the car, and I got in the back seat, just wanted to do something with him, and I asked him why. I did that with him, I did clean. Tom told me he didn't make it easy, he didn't make it hard. And he goes, Rocky said that, he said, you need to beat the shit out of me and have it happen anyway.
Have what happened? So when they got ready to poke you, how was you positioned in the back seat?
On my back.
He was on your back. And would they stretch back in the first half?
Yeah. I was that one.
They tried sticking your butt down. And you say you never had sex before, is that correct?
Right.
And which one tried doing this first?
Tom.
And Tom couldn't get it in you?
Huh? I said he couldn't, but...
Alright. He said he couldn't get you...
He couldn't get it in. Well, I know it hurt, so I don't know what Tom was doing. Where are you going?
The person was Tom, is that it?
Yes, sir.
Then Tom got out, and what did he do?
Got in the press, he just did it, but...
Then what happened? And then when John got in the back seat, what did he do?
He did everything that Tom did.
All right. After he got his pants down, he got a spread of you, or had you spread out, and he got a spread of you then. Then what happened?
He got in the car and got back.
Well, let's back up here for a second. First of all, you didn't say anything about him getting it up. Did he have a hard-on when he got back there, or what?
I didn't look.
Did he take a little time working it up, or what? Did you work it up for him?
No, I didn't.
You didn't work it up for him?
No.
Then do you think he had it worked up on his own, or what?
I guess not. I don't know.
And you've never had any sex before?
No.
How old are you?
21.
And if you're 21, you think he'd have trouble getting it in?
Right. Yeah. Got out of the car, walked to the bag. That's when anybody tapped me again. Never hit me in the face this time. Or I didn't need to hit me in the bed. In the bed. I think he hit me about 3 times and the rest of the time. And we got Tom goes. We're done. Get in the car. I sit back in the front seat with him. Because we're still fine.
And what did you say?
Yeah. We got back. I'll say. Went to Tom's house.
Did they do it one time for you, and then the other guy do one time and quit? Or did one guy do it, and then the other guy do it, and then the other guy come back and do it again, and the other guy come back and do it again? They each did it once. You want to file charges against these guys?
Yes.
You want to sign a complaint against them?
Yes.
Will you testify in court against them?
Yes, sir.
Why do you run around with girls instead of guys, being you're a girl yourself? Why do you make girls think you're a guy?
I have the slightest idea.
You have the slightest idea. You go around kissing other girls?
Yes.
The ones, the girls that don't know about you think you're a guy. Do you kiss them?
What happened last night?
Because I'm trying to get some answers so I know exactly what's going on. Now, you want to answer that question for me or not?
I do. I have to.
Huh?
I do. I have to.
The only thing is, if it goes to court, that question's going to come up in court. And I'm going to want an answer for it before it goes to court. See what I'm saying?
Because I have a sexual identity crisis.
You what?
I have a sexual identity crisis.
You want to explain that?
I don't know if I can even come back.
This is where it gets to it. The sheriff would always refer to Brendan as it. And with total disgust, because no actions were taken, both Tom and John found out Brandon reported them, and they planned for days how they wanted to kill him. Around 1 a.m. December 31st, 1993, might I add, this is not even a month after Brandon turned 21.
Wow.
And not even a week or two after Christmas or after the rape, Tom and John found Brandon at Lampert's, Lisa's house.
Mm-hmm.
They broke in and they attacked. So Brandon was trying to hide, but didn't really have much to hide or find a place to hide. So he tried hiding with Lisa. When they found Lisa and demanded to know where Brandon was, she refused. Like, she fought tooth and nail and be like, I'm not going to tell you. You guys can do whatever you want to do to me. I'm not going to tell you where Brandon is. So they end up searching the whole entire house. They found Brandon hiding underneath Lisa's bed. And the men also asked Lisa if there was anyone else in the house. She told him that there was. This is the part that a lot of people got really mad about. In the movie Boys Don't Cry, he was never mentioned. So there was this gentleman by the name of Philip Devane. And he was in the house. He was actually Lisa's sister's boyfriend. He had been kicked out of his house because he was dating a Caucasian woman. He was African American. So, and again, back in the day, that was frowned upon, especially in Nebraska. At the time he was dating the sister. In front of Lisa's toddler, I never was able to get his exact age, but I'm assuming as a toddler, he was like 2 or 3, maybe 4.
Mm-hmm. We'll just stick with toddler.
Yeah, he was a toddler. So in front of Lisa's toddler, they shot all three of them execution style.
Even Lisa?
Yes. So it wasn't just Brandon who died here. Philip Devane. So we have Lisa Lampert. She was 24 years old. She was shot in the chest and face. They shot her in the face and then they wanted to make sure she was dead, so they shot her in the chest.
My face is like just dumbfounded right now. Like,
I'm like picturing the scene in my head because I've seen this.
You've
movie.
Seen the movie, and it's they do not.
They didn't do this.
Censor any of that?
No, they didn't.
Not only that, but they like watered it down in the movie.
Of course. Lot.
And even what you see in the movie is fucking ridiculous.
Freaking, like, yeah.
So her son Tanner was only like 2 or 3 years old at the time. So
what happened to Tanner?
He's orphaned.
No, he got adopted by Lisa's mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Lisa was the second one to die. Next one was Philip Devane. He was only 19 years old. He was shot once in the head and he was killed last. They watched as they killed Brandon. Brandon Tina had just turned 21 that month, was shot once in the face. John and Tom later claimed that they saw Brandon's body twitching. They didn't think he was dead. So John took Tom's pocket knife and stabbed him. See, this is where accounts change, but I am under the impression that he was stabbed over 20 times in the chest to make sure that he was dead. Again, accounts change. Some say it was just once. The movie just shows it once, but I saw other reports that said it was more than once.
Yelly's not a happy camper right now.
Nope. So once they were done, they ran like little asshole.
And just just left the toddler.
Yeah, this happened at 1 a.m.
This makes my stomach sick.
So, all three bodies were discovered the next day by Anna Marie Lampert, which was Lisa's mother. The baby was crying. The baby had even wandered out of the house, everything. I think that's what they showed in the movie, if I'm not mistaken. And they found the bodies, all three of them there. Tom and John were quickly apprehended.
Apprehended.
There you go, yeah. Tom and John were quickly apprehended, but Tom quickly threw John under the bus. Claiming it was all his idea, John committed the murder in exchange for Tom's testimony, they reduced his sentence. Tom admitted to being an accessory to the rape and the murder, and that he really wasn't involved in it. Tom testified against John, but he was still sentenced to life in prison. While John, even though he denied everything, the jury found John guilty of murder, and he had the death penalty. Both have appealed their convictions, and later in September 2007, Tom recanted his testimony against John and claimed he was the mastermind behind everything.
Tom. What?
Yeah. So he had threw John under the bus.
But now...
Now he recanted the story because John had tried to tell them from the beginning. He's like, this wasn't actually all my idea. He's all like, Tom was just in this just as much as I was. Mm-hmm. But because Tom did not want to get the death penalty, he threw John under the bus and he managed to get the plea deal, like in Dee Dee Blanchard's thing. He got the plea deal and could not be sentenced to death. So he gets to spend the rest of his life in prison while John has to die for it. I believe both of them should, but hey, plea deals.
And this was 2007?
In 2007.
Is he still...
Oh yeah, they're still there.
Oh my God.
In 2000...
Justice system, people. It's right. Amazing.
In 2009, John appealed, citing Tom's new testimony, but it was still rejected. They're like, you're still going to be in jail, and you're still going to get the death penalty. They tried to retry Tom with the new information, but they still kept it as life in prison instead of the death penalty. They're like, you are not, because John tried to file as being innocent. Like, he didn't do anything. But they're like, no, you did stuff. You're still going to go to jail. You're still going to be in jail, and you're still getting the death penalty for what you did. It was a hate crime. Come on. All appeals have been denied for both. They are still alive and appealing. And they even tried to claim... Oh my God. Remember in like Dee Dee Blanchard, they're trying to get the guy off because he has a low IQ? Well, these guys are trying to pull that too. These guys supposedly have like an IQ of in the 60s.
My face is so angry right now. I have no expression to...
Yeah, they're trying to say it was diminished, that they were just not smart enough and able to comprehend what would happen if they did what they did. Might I add you, these guys...
How about don't do it? Yeah. That would have been awesome. Right? Like,
these guys had records, too. They were known as violent people. But to this day, they are trying to... Well, they're like, well, if we want to spend at least life in prison... Because you technically cannot fry or kill someone who is labeled as mentally retarded. So, or have some sort of mental disability. And if you can score an IQ lower than, I think it's like 60-something, you can be considered autistic and or mentally retarded. And by law, you cannot be executed. Justice system! So isn't it wonderful?
So what's to say these people don't take that test and purposely fail it to make themselves seem...
Thank you. Everyone says that. These people know that. So you really think they're going to take this test seriously to not, like, oh, I'm just going to make myself seem stupid so that way I don't get killed and the taxpayers can continue to pay for us being in jail where we get three meals a day.
So angry! Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell my anger in that? Where's my Long Island iced tea? I need booze right now. Oh, God. So, yeah.
You're going to change Sam's joke.
Yeah, seeing the movie and then hearing this, I'm just like, yeah. I only needed to see the movie once to not want to see it.
This is saying something because I don't cry or whatever, but when I saw this movie, it pulled at my heartstrings so bad. Like, it enraged me so bad. I got super emotional over it. And that's saying something because it's me. But it took...
You have feelings too, Sam.
I know.
It's okay.
I let them slip every so often.
Deep down underneath that concrete wall that you put up, there's a soft marshmallowy center.
So we're going to end this with Brandon Tina's murder, along with that of Matthew Shepard, led to the increased lobby for hate crimes laws in the U.S. and equal rights for trans people.
Wow.
See, that's what I kind of really despise about our justice system is the fact that it has to happen to somebody else before they're like, oh, maybe it should become a law.
We should do something about it, yeah.
So, but...
It takes somebody to get brutally murdered for them to be like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Brandon Tina died in 1993. The other person who I just talked about, Matthew Shepard, he was killed in 1998. So even though Brandon Tina died in 1993 and people were like, oh, we're angry about this, it took another person dying 5 years later, being brutally killed, for being openly gay and openly trans for them to finally do stuff, to finally do hate crime. So, and that is another case that I do plan on covering. His name is Matthew Shepard. That's a pretty tragic story, just a small summary. Was an American student at the University of Wyoming who was beaten, tortured, and left to die in 1998 in October. He actually lived for 6 days before he finally succumbed to his injuries.
R.I.P.
Right. And again, it ends with the mom ends up, she actually sued the people too who did the film because she felt that she was misrepresented and a lot of other people were misrepresented. Some people claimed that it was represented correctly. Well, she claims to this day that I was a perfect mother. Mm. None of that was true. And she's also the one, again, who refused to admit that her daughter was trans and admitted that her daughter was actually male and that it was not a her, it was a he. Brandon wanted to be Brandon.
Let Brandon be Brandon. Yeah.
And his mom did not put it that way. And he unfortunately went to his grave not being recognized as that because of his mother. Yeah, that is my murder for...
That was pretty heavy on me. I deserve like 10 points for this episode. I'm just saying.
We'll give...
I need to go watch some cartoons and some, yeah. You
should watch Courage is a Cowardly Dog.
Myth gets... Nobody's
perfect, Joe.
Myth gets 5 points for having to put through this. And Paranormal gets 2 for putting up with this too and being so stoic.
And all the people that have experienced things like this out there get a million points from me, okay?
You get my heart. You get everything.
Stay strong, friends.
We all love you. And if you are suffering through anything, please reach out to people. We are always here to help you. I will, in my show notes, I will list any crisis center phone calls or crisis center phone numbers and anything, hotlines. You're not alone. You know, we're always there for you. We love you guys. Heavy. I guess I like picking heavy hitter cases.
That was pretty heavy. Thank God we got some tea to take with that heaviness, right, that you gave us. But yeah, just want to say thank you all for listening, staying with us in this episode.
Right.
You know.
Thank you guys for putting up with us. This was our 4th episode. We have officially reached a month.
Woo! Woo! We have 1 month anniversary.
1 month anniversary. And I want to thank everyone who's listened to us, who supported us. We have...
It wouldn't be the same without you guys.
Right? If it wasn't for you guys. So...
I'll never let you go, Jack.
There was space on the door for 2 people,
there
Joe.
There was space. Okay. So, yeah. Let's finish this up. So... We have, please follow us on social media. We have Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We also have a listener's video that we are doing at the first of every month. Our first one's going to be on March 1st. We would love to hear from our listeners. If you have any paranormal, murder, and or myth that you'd like to let us know, please let us know.
Email us.
Yes, please email us at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. We do have a deadline, people. The last day you can submit that to us is February 19th, which is like right after this episode when it comes out. But yeah,
so please hurry.
Right, please. Please get that to us before February 19th. That is our deadline so we can have this ready for you for the 1st of March that comes out. In fact, you guys get a double hitter on the 1st of March because 1st of March lands on a Friday. So you're going to get an episode and you're going to get a listener's episode.
And what was that email? One more time, Sam.
teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. Again, you can find us on all social media or most social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also find us on our Patreon. Look up Tea Time Horrors. We would love that. We have a lot of merch ideas coming out too.
Coming soon.
Right. We plan on dropping some awesome merch next month. You know, I hope you guys are excited for March just as much as we are.
Don't tell them secret. It's not March yet. Shh.
It is going to be March.
Shh. Everyone, it's got to be a secret.
That's right. Giving out secrets on March, is your on thing.
You know what? You know what? That was low blow. Low blow.
Oh,
are you sure they're really secrets, though, or giving away secrets? I am Team Myth.
Yes, right, Team Myth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, please follow us on our social media. Take a look at us on Patreon. Again, listener video March 1st. Please get that into us as soon as possible. The email, teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. We love you guys. Thank you guys for putting up with us.
Till next time.
Yep. Thank you. Joe, you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
Bye. Tea's good.